is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
20 years ago today, the invasion, the attack on Iraq by the United States, I welcome the New World Report with Joseph Umar, the executive director of Secure Free Society, and Ernesto Araújo, former foreign minister of the Republic of Brazil, to reflect on 20 years ago today. We were all younger men, but we were no wiser about Iraq, which today, the payoff is darkness visible, non-transparent, profoundly troubled. The GDP has grown, but so has the bad actors from outside. We're going to special report in Latin America, but first, memories. Ernesto, where were you 20 years ago today, and can you recall your thoughts when you heard the U.S. was invading Saddam Hussein's dictatorship because of weapons of mass destruction? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. I was in Brussels for a Mercosur-European Union negotiation, which I was handling back then. I remember, well, I think it was Monday morning when we started the meeting with the news that the invasion had taken place. And I recall an European official saying, oh, this is a sad day. And an Argentinian colleague from the Mercosur side said, a sad day for whom? And I kind of agreed with my Argentinian colleague back then in the sense that we thought that this was a good day for a democracy, for a liberal world order, and a bad day for the dictators, for the thugs like Saddam Hussein. So that was my initial thought. Of course, things didn't play out that way, but that's at least how I recall it.
Did the Brazilian government at the time have an opinion of the Iraq war? Was there any statement of support or disagreement?
Oh, no. Back then, this was already the first Lula government, and the position was the classical multilateral position that this was not supported by international law and that dialogue should be looked for. So no support for the operation at all.
Any attention to the claim of weapons of mass destruction, a possible uranium, cake being used for a bomb, chemical warfare, biological warfare? Was there attention to that in Brazil?
There was in several circles because, as you know, back in the 70s, 80s, already during Saddam Hussein's government, of course, Brazil was a very important trading partner of Iraq and vice versa. And there was speculation of involvement, reciprocal involvement in a nuclear program because Brazil back then was trying to develop a very peaceful use nuclear program. But still, there was some speculation that this was not only peaceful. So I think many people, I don't know, but I think many people were worried about connections of that time being brought to the fore, which I think was not the case at the end. But Iraq was a sensitive, and Saddam Hussein was a sensitive issue for Brazilian diplomacy. People invested a lot in the relation of Iraq in the 80s, especially. And I think, on the other hand, some people were happy to get rid of Saddam Hussein and whatever secrets went with him.
Joseph, your memories of 20 years ago today, I believe you were in uniform.
I was. On this day, 20 years ago, I was in the northern border of Kuwait, waiting to enter Iraq. And what I remember first, I think a lot of people that didn't serve may not understand this, but as a Marine, we wanted to go. We wanted to go for several reasons. We wanted to go to get operational combat experience. We wanted to go because we wanted to kill terrorists and go after dictators. But when we entered Iraq, I think we learned very quickly that the only enemy wasn't just the terrorists. I think we started to learn quickly about some of the political forces that were coming from Tehran. But before I get into that, John, I wanted to also share with you, this is an interesting statistic to tie it over to Latin America, because one of the things I did when I was in Iraq is you might have heard of search and rescue, SAR operations, but I did something called search and recovery, meaning you recover the remains of Marines that had been killed in combat. So I was part of a regimental combat team that I was in the search and recovery unit of that. And one of the statistics we learned, because we're processing the remains of those Marines that were killed in action, is the nationality with the third highest rate of casualties during the first year of the war, in the Iraq War in 2003, after the United States and the UK, was actually Mexico. And that's kind of interesting to many people because Mexico wasn't a part of the coalition. You know, Mexico wasn't even a part of the war. But the reason that Mexico is the nationality with the third highest rate of casualties in the first year of the war was because there were so many Mexican nationals, U.S. residents serving in the U.S. Marines, particularly 1st Marine Expeditionary Force in Camp Pendleton, California, that they counted as Mexican national deaths during the war.
So they weren't they weren't counting as American citizens. They were Mexican nationals.
Because they weren't. They were Mexican nationals, U.S. residents. They were U.S. residents that were joined the armed forces, the Marines. And this is something else to note, that in Mexico, especially the northern part of the country, there's a long tradition of Mexicans joining the U.S. armed forces going back to World War II. And it's actually a lot of the northern Mexicans consider being part of the Marines or having family in the Marines kind of like a badge of honor. So a lot of them come to the United States to serve in the armed forces and then get their citizenship later.
20 years ago today, now we're here in 2023. The banking crisis in Europe is not matched from reports with a banking crisis in Latin America. Panama says its banks are stable. Mexico says its banks are stable. I see no significant report about banking. So let's go to the one hot piece of news of the moment, which is Honduras. Honduras is under the new president, Xiomara Castro, has switched its affections and devotion and diplomatic relations from Taiwan, Taipei, Taiwan, the capital, to the People's Republic of China. This is making a lot of noise, especially at the U.S. State Department. I believe the State Department has dispatched an envoy to talk to Honduras. I'll stay with you on, Joseph. Honduras is part of the Northern Triangle, which was said to be the source of great waves of migration some year, 2 years ago, perhaps still, but I don't read it anymore. In Honduras switching sides, is that a surprise, choosing the People's Republic of China, knowing that Chinese money works with Russian and Cuban and Venezuelan and Iranian agents?
Well, no, unfortunately, it's not a surprise. And all those actors that you just mentioned are, from the viewpoint of the current Honduran government, the government of President Xiomara Castro, are probably going to be strategic allies of that government. Now, United States has a strong and long relationship with the Honduran government, going many, many years, going back to the Cold War and even further. And we still have security cooperation and defense cooperation with Honduras. But that said, the strategic alignment that Xiomara Castro is taking Honduras is going towards the direction of U.S. adversaries. So this was something that we anticipated, diplomatic recognition or the taking away the diplomatic recognition of Taiwan. And it's, I think, a signal to China now advancing to just essentially take away all the diplomatic recognition of Taiwan around the world. There's 14 countries, I believe, that still recognize Taiwan around the world. 8 of those are in Latin America. But they're dwindling by the day. And I think this is also something that, you know, was very obvious in the sense that maybe a week or two before they announced this pivot by the Honduran government away from Taiwan and towards the People's Republic of China, both the husband and the daughter of President Xiomara Castro were in Caracas, Venezuela, to pay homage to the anniversary of the death of Hugo Chavez in Venezuela. Her husband, Mel Zelaya, is a well-known ally of Nicolas Maduro. And it was interesting to see her daughter there as well. So, you know, blood's thicker than water in the sense that her family very clearly is showing their signs that their network ties to the dictators and the authoritarians in the neighborhood.
Ernesto, is that how it is seen in Brasilia as a benefit for the Chavezistas these many years later?
Oh, yes, definitely. Chavez is, his memory is being recovered with the help of Lula, of course. He was a strong ally to Chavez. So the years where a big chunk of the world, of the free world at least, saw Venezuela for what it is, a dictatorship under first Chavez and then Maduro, these days are gone, and all the talk is about this memory being dissipated and Venezuela being normalized. And of course, this has to do with the increasing influence of China, Russia, and Iran in Latin America. I think it's very worrisome to see the Central American countries adopting a pro-totalitarian stance, actually. Countries that are so important both for the United States and for Brazil. I was the first minister who visited Honduras when I was a minister. Since the 70s, people had forgotten about the importance of Central America for Brazil. We tried to recover that. But one interesting issue regarding recognition of Taiwan or Beijing is that Paraguay is probably the largest country that still recognizes Taiwan. And there is strong pressure from China to negotiate a free trade deal with Mercosul that would involve Paraguay recognizing Beijing in exchange for some sorts of specific trade concessions. And now, I don't know if you are aware of that, former President Dilma Rousseff is going to be the new president of the BRICS Bank, the New Development Bank, as it is called. It's the kind of World Bank, mini World Bank of the BRICS. And certainly they're trying to make that into an instrument to get Paraguay and other countries of the region to the Beijing allegiance.
There are only three countries, I'm told, in the Americas still with right-of-center governments. And when we come back, we're going to one of them, which is teetering. That would be Ecuador. Joseph Umar, the executive director of Secure Free Society. Ernesto Araújo, former foreign minister of the Republic of Brazil, 20 years ago today, and now we come to today in Quito. This is CBS Eye on the World, the New World Report. I'm John Batchelor.